Are you tired of superficial connections that leave you feeling empty? Do you crave a love that's deeper than a fleeting fling, a love that stands the test of time? If you're yearning for something more meaningful, something real, then you're in the right place. Because in this video, we're ditching the shallow end and diving deep into the ocean of love. We're talking about the kind of love that transforms us, heals us, and makes us feel truly alive. We're talking about the kind of love that's worth fighting for, worth sacrificing for, and worth building a life around. Whether you're single, dating, or in a committed relationship, this video is for you. We're spilling all the secrets on what it takes to cultivate a love that's not just a feeling, but a way of life. We're talking about the nitty-gritty, the messy stuff, and the oh-so-sweet moments that make it all worthwhile. So, buckle up, because we're about to embark on a journey of self-discovery, exploration, and transformation. We're going to dive deep into the ancient wisdom of philosophers, the latest insights from relationship experts, and the real-life experiences of people who have found lasting love. Get ready to discover the secrets of a love that's deeper than the ocean, stronger than steel, and sweeter than honey. This is your chance to transform your love life from a series of disappointments into a masterpiece of connection and joy. So, grab a drink, relax, and let's get started. 1. Clarity. Give love words. Hey, beautiful people. Let's dive into a topic that's close to all our hearts. Love. It's a word we throw around like confetti, but what does it really mean? If we're honest, most of us are a bit fuzzy on the details. That's where the magic of defining love comes in. Think of it like this. Love is the GPS for our souls. If we don't have a clear destination in mind, we're just driving around aimlessly, right? The same goes for love. Without a solid definition, we're stumbling around in the dark, bumping into walls and wondering why we're not getting anywhere. So, what is love? It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling, like that first sip of hot cocoa on a snowy day. It's way more than that. Love is a verb, an action word. It's about rolling up our sleeves and doing the work, not just waiting for the feels to hit us. The wise folks, like psychiatrist M. Scott Peck, hit the nail on the head when they said love is the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. Boom! That's a definition that'll make you want to shout amen from the rooftops. Love isn't about what we get, it's about what we give. It's about choosing to show up for ourselves and the people we care about, day in and day out. It's about nurturing that little spark of divinity within us and helping others do the same. Now, I know what you're thinking. Are you saying love isn't about feelings? Nope, not at all. Feelings are part of the equation, for sure. But they're not the whole story. True love is about choosing to act in a loving way, even when the feels aren't there. It's about showing up with a hug and a listening ear, even when you'd rather binge-watch Netflix. This whole love is a choice thing might sound like a buzzkill, but trust me, it's actually super empowering. When we realize that love is something we actively create, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. We're not just passive victims of our emotions. We're the captains of our own love ships. Think about it like this. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone said they loved you, but their actions told a different story? Maybe they were constantly putting you down or neglecting your needs. That's not love, my friends. That's just a hot mess of emotions disguised as love. When we're clear about what love really means, we can start calling out the BS. We can stop settling for crumbs and start demanding the whole damn bakery. We can create relationships that are built on trust, respect, and genuine care. So let's get real about love. Let's stop using the word as a catch-all for every fleeting emotion. Let's start using it as a verb, a powerful force for good in our lives and the world. Let's choose love every single day. If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button. Share it with your family and friends and write "Keep it up" in the comments below. 2. Justice. Childhood love lessons. All right, love gurus, let's talk about where it all begins. Childhood. Our families, whether they're the Brady Bunch or a bit more dysfunctional, are our first classrooms for love. It's where we learn the ABCs of connection, but sometimes those lessons get a little mixed up. Think back to your childhood. Did you ever get a timeout or a scolding and hear those dreaded words, "I'm doing this because I love you"? Yeah, that's some confusing stuff right there. It's like saying, "I'm giving you broccoli because I love you." It might be good for you, but it doesn't exactly scream love, does it? Here's the deal. Love and punishment are like oil and water. They just don't mix. When kids experience harsh punishment, especially from the people they're supposed to love and trust, it messes with their whole understanding of love. It's like trying to learn a new language with a dictionary full of typos. Philosophers like Immanuel Kant would call this a violation of the categorical imperative. In simple terms, it means treating people, even kids, as ends in themselves, not just means to an end. When we punish kids harshly, we're not respecting their autonomy or their inherent worth. We're just trying to control them, and that ain't love. Now, I'm not saying we should let kids run wild and do whatever they want. Boundaries are important, but there's a difference between setting limits and doling out punishment. Love teaches, it guides, it nurtures. Punishment just creates fear and resentment. Think about it this way. Have you ever been in a relationship where someone tried to control you with guilt or threats? It's not exactly a recipe for romance, is it? The same goes for kids. When we try to control them with punishment, we're not teaching them how to love. We're just teaching them how to fear us. So, what's the alternative? Well, it's called positive discipline. It's about setting clear expectations, communicating effectively, and focusing on solutions instead of punishments. It's about teaching kids to make good choices, not just because they'll get in trouble if they don't, but because it's the right thing to do. This whole positive discipline thing might sound like a bunch of hippy-dippy nonsense, but trust me, it works. When kids feel loved and respected, they're more likely to cooperate and make good choices. They learn to trust their own judgment and develop a strong sense of self-worth. But here's the real kicker. Love without justice is like a cake without flour. It just doesn't hold up. When kids don't experience fairness and equality in their lives, it messes with their ability to love. It's like trying to build a house on quicksand. Think about the civil rights movement or the fight for gender equality. Those movements were all about love, about creating a more just and equitable world. The same goes for our families. When we create a home where everyone feels valued and respected, we're laying the foundation for a loving community. So, let's get real about love and justice. Let's stop confusing punishment with discipline and start focusing on creating a home where love can truly flourish. Our kids deserve it, and so do we. 3. Honesty. Be true to love. Hey, truth seekers, let's get real about something that's essential for love to thrive. Honesty. It's like the foundation of a house. Without it, everything else crumbles. Think about it. How many times have you been in a situation where someone said they loved you, but their actions screamed a different tune. Maybe they were always cancelling plans, or maybe they were flirting with other people behind your back. That's not honesty. That's straight-up dishonesty. And it hurts like hell. Being honest with ourselves and others is like shining a light on the dark corners of our souls. It's scary, but it's also incredibly freeing. When we're honest, we can finally start building real, authentic connections with people. We can stop playing games and start living in truth. Now, I know what you're thinking. Isn't it okay to tell a little white lie sometimes? Like if my friend asks me if I like her new haircut, and I think it's a disaster, should I really tell her the truth? That's a good question, and it's where things get a little tricky. There's a difference between being honest and being brutally honest. We don't need to go around hurting people's feelings just for the sake of being truthful, but we also can't go around lying to people and expect them to trust us. It's a balancing act, and it takes practice. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle had a concept called the golden mean, which basically means finding the middle ground between two extremes. In this case, the extremes would be lying all the time and being brutally honest all the time. The golden mean would be finding a way to be honest without being hurtful. So, how do we find that middle ground? It starts with being mindful of our words and actions. It's about considering the impact our words will have on the other person. It's about choosing to speak our truth with kindness and compassion. For example, if your friend asks you if you like her new haircut and you think it's not her best look, you could say something like, "I love that you're trying something new. It's a bold look and I admire your confidence." This way, you're being honest about your feelings without making your friend feel bad. Of course, there are times when we need to be more direct with our honesty. If someone is hurting us or betraying our trust, we need to speak up and let them know how their actions are affecting us. But even in these situations, we can still choose to speak our truth with love and respect. Honesty is not just about what we say. It's also about what we do. Our actions need to be in alignment with our words. If we say we love someone, but we're constantly neglecting their needs or putting them down, that's not honesty. That's just a hot mess of hypocrisy. When we're truly honest with ourselves and others, we create space for real, deep connection. We build trust, we foster intimacy, and we create a foundation for love to thrive. So, let's make a commitment to honesty, not just in our words, but in our actions. Let's be true to ourselves, true to others, and true to love. 4. Commitment. Let love be love in me. All right, love warriors, let's talk about the backbone of any lasting love. Commitment. It's like the glue that holds everything together when the going gets tough. I'm not talking about that "I'll love you forever" kind of commitment that teenagers carve into trees. I'm talking about the real deal, the kind of commitment that shows up day in and day out through thick and thin. Think of it like this. Love is a marathon, not a sprint. It's not about that initial spark of passion. It's about the long haul. It's about choosing to show up for your partner, even when you'd rather be anywhere else. It's about sticking it out through the good times and the bad, the ups and the downs. Now, I know what you're thinking. What if I'm not feeling the love anymore? What if the spark has fizzled out? That's a valid question, and it's something we all face at some point in our relationships. But here's the thing. Commitment isn't about feelings. It's about action. It's about choosing to love, even when the feels aren't there. It's about showing up with a hug and a listening ear, even when you'd rather crawl under the covers and hide. This whole "love is a choice" thing might sound like a broken record, but it's a lesson we need to hear over and over again. We live in a culture that's obsessed with instant gratification. We want everything now, and if it doesn't feel good, we're out. But love doesn't work that way. It takes time, effort, and a whole lot of patience. The ancient Greek philosopher Plato had a concept called eros, which is often translated as passionate love. But eros isn't just about that initial spark of attraction. It's also about the desire for something deeper, something more meaningful. It's about the longing for union with another soul. When we commit to love, we're not just committing to a person, we're committing to a journey. We're saying, I'm in this for the long haul, and I'm willing to do the work to make this relationship thrive. Now, this doesn't mean we have to stay in a relationship that's toxic or abusive. If someone is hurting us or disrespecting us, we need to get the hell out of there. But it does mean that we need to be willing to work through the challenges that inevitably arise in any relationship. Think about it like this. Have you ever seen a couple who's been together for decades and still seems madly in love? They didn't get there by accident. They got there by choosing to love each other day after day, year after year. They got there by being committed to their relationship, even when things got tough. So let's get real about commitment. Let's stop looking for the easy way out and start embracing the challenges of love. Let's choose to be in it for the long haul, and let's create relationships that are built to last. If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button, share it with your family and friends, and write "Keep it up" in the comments below. 5. Spirituality, divine love. All right, my spiritual warriors, let's elevate this conversation to a higher level and talk about the connection between love and spirituality. Now, I know spirituality can be a loaded word, conjuring up images of incense, crystals, and chanting. But let's strip away the fluff and get to the heart of the matter. Spirituality, at its core, is about connecting with something bigger than ourselves. It's about recognizing that we're part of a vast, interconnected web of life. It's about tapping into that universal energy that flows through all of us. And guess what? Love is a huge part of that energy. In fact, many spiritual traditions believe that love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's the energy that creates, sustains, and connects us all. Think of it like this. Love is the Wi-Fi of the soul. It's the invisible force that allows us to connect with each other on a deeper level. It's the energy that fuels our compassion, our empathy, and our kindness. Now, I'm not talking about that fluffy, sentimental kind of love that Hallmark cards are made of. I'm talking about a love that's fierce, transformative, and deeply rooted in the divine. The ancient Greeks had a word for this kind of love, agape. It's a love that's unconditional, selfless, and all-encompassing. It's the kind of love that we feel for humanity as a whole, for the planet, and for the divine. When we tap into this agape love, we open ourselves up to a whole new level of spiritual awareness. We start to see the world through a different lens, one that's filled with compassion and understanding. We realize that we're all connected, and that what we do to others, we ultimately do to ourselves. This might sound like some woo-woo stuff, but it's actually backed up by science. Studies have shown that people who have a strong sense of spirituality tend to be happier, healthier, and more resilient in the face of stress. They also tend to have stronger relationships and a greater sense of purpose in life. So, how do we tap into this divine love? It starts with cultivating a sense of awe and wonder for the world around us. It's about taking time to appreciate the beauty of nature, the kindness of strangers, and the simple joys of life. It's also about connecting with our own inner wisdom. This could mean meditating, praying, or simply spending time in quiet reflection. Whatever works for you, find a way to connect with that still, small voice within. And finally, it's about putting love into action. This could mean volunteering your time to help others, donating to a cause you care about, or simply being kind and compassionate in your everyday interactions. When we live our lives with love as our guiding principle, we tap into a power that's greater than ourselves. We become channels for divine love, and we radiate that love out into the world. And that, my friends, is the most powerful magic of all. 6. Values. Living by a love ethic. All right, my fellow philosophers, let's talk about values. You know, those deep-seated beliefs that guide our actions and shape our lives. They're like the compass that points us in the right direction, even when we're lost in the wilderness. Now, when it comes to love, our values are super important. They determine how we treat ourselves and others, how we approach relationships, and how we navigate the ups and downs of life. So, what does it mean to live by a love ethic? It means putting love at the center of everything we do. It means making choices that are based on kindness, compassion, and respect. It means treating ourselves and others with dignity and valuing connection over competition. Think of it like this. Love is the operating system of our souls. When we're running on a love ethic, our whole lives start to function differently. We become more patient, more understanding, and more forgiving. We start to see the world through a lens of love, and that changes everything. The ancient Greek philosopher Socrates believed that the unexamined life is not worth living. He encouraged his students to question everything, to seek wisdom, and to live in accordance with their highest values. Living by a love ethic is a form of living consciously. It's about examining our beliefs and behaviors and making sure they're aligned with our deepest values. It's about choosing love, even when it's hard. Now, I know what you're thinking. Isn't it easier said than done? I mean, the world is a tough place, and sometimes it feels like love is just a pipe dream. You're right, it's not always easy. We live in a culture that often values greed, selfishness, and competition over love. But that doesn't mean we have to give in to those values. We can choose to create our own counterculture, one that's based on love, compassion, and connection. Think about it like this. Have you ever been in a situation where someone showed you unexpected kindness or generosity? Maybe a stranger held the door open for you, or a friend offered a listening ear when you needed it most. Those small acts of love can have a ripple effect, spreading out into the world and creating a more loving environment for everyone. When we live by a love ethic, we become part of that ripple effect. We become agents of change, creating a world that's more just, equitable, and loving. It starts with our own choices, our own actions. So, let's make a commitment to living by a love ethic. Let's choose love over fear, compassion over judgment, and connection over isolation. Let's create a world where love is not just a word, but a way of life. 7. Greed, simply love. All right, my conscious consumers, let's talk about a force that can seriously mess with our love vibes. Greed. It's like a hungry ghost that's never satisfied, always wanting more, more, more. And it can suck the joy out of our lives faster than you can say Black Friday. Now, I'm not just talking about wanting a bigger house or a fancier car. Greed is about that insatiable hunger for stuff, that belief that having more will make us happier, more fulfilled, and more loved. But here's the thing. Greed is a lie. It's a mirage in the desert, promising us oasis, but delivering only sand. The more we chase after material possessions, the emptier we feel inside. It's like trying to fill a bottomless pit with dollar bills. The ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus knew this all too well. He believed that true happiness comes from simple pleasures, like good food, good company, and a peaceful mind. He warned against the dangers of excessive desire, saying, "Nothing is enough for the man to whom enough is too little." In today's world, we're bombarded with messages that tell us the opposite. We're told that we need the latest gadgets, the trendiest clothes, and the biggest houses to be happy. We're encouraged to keep up with the Joneses, even if it means going into debt or sacrificing our values. But here's the truth. The more we have, the more we want. It's a vicious cycle that can leave us feeling stressed, anxious, and disconnected from what truly matters. Think about it like this. Have you ever bought something you thought would make you happy, only to find that the happiness faded as soon as the novelty wore off? That's because material possessions can't fill the void within us. They can't give us the love, connection, and purpose that we crave. So, what's the antidote to greed? It's called simplicity. It's about decluttering our lives, both physically and mentally. It's about focusing on what truly matters, our relationships, our health, our passions, and our connection to the divine. Simplicity doesn't mean living in a shack and eating rice and beans every day. It means being intentional about how we spend our time, energy, and resources. It means choosing quality over quantity, experiences over things, and connection over consumption. When we simplify our lives, we create space for love to flourish. We have more time and energy to devote to the people and activities that bring us joy. We become less attached to material possessions and more focused on what truly matters. So, let's ditch the greed and embrace simplicity. Let's declutter our lives, our minds, and our hearts. Let's choose love over stuff, connection over consumption, and simplicity over excess. Let's create a world where love is the ultimate currency, not money. 8. Community, loving communion. Hey, community crusaders. Let's talk about something that's essential for our well-being and our ability to love. Community. Now, I'm not just talking about the people who live in your neighborhood or the folks you follow on social media. I'm talking about that deep sense of belonging, that feeling of being connected to something bigger than yourself. Think of it like this. Community is the oxygen for our souls. We need it to breathe, to thrive, and to be fully alive. Without it, we can feel isolated, lonely, and disconnected from the world around us. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle called humans zoon politikon, which means political animal. He believed that we're naturally social creatures, wired for connection and community. And he was right. We need each other to survive and thrive. But in today's world, it's easy to feel disconnected. We're constantly bombarded with messages that tell us to focus on ourselves, to prioritize our individual needs and desires. We're encouraged to compete with each other rather than cooperate. This individualistic mindset can leave us feeling isolated and alone. It can make it hard to form meaningful connections with others, and it can make us forget that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves. Think about it like this. Have you ever felt a sense of belonging at a concert, a sporting event, or a protest? That feeling of being part of something larger than yourself, of sharing a common experience with others, that's the power of community. When we're part of a loving community, we feel supported, valued, and connected. We have people to lean on when times get tough, and we have people to celebrate with when things are going well. We feel a sense of purpose and belonging that can't be found anywhere else. But community isn't just about feeling good. It's also about taking action, about working together to create a better world. It's about standing up for what we believe in, even when it's unpopular. It's about using our collective power to make a difference. Think about the civil rights movement or the fight for LGBTQ+ rights. Those movements were fueled by the power of community. People came together across lines of race, class, and gender to fight for a more just and equitable world. When we're part of a loving community, we tap into that same power. We become part of something bigger than ourselves, and we can achieve things that we could never do alone. So let's make a commitment to building loving communities. Let's reach out to our neighbors, our friends, and our family members. Let's create spaces where we can connect with each other on a deeper level. Let's work together to create a world that's more just, equitable, and loving for everyone. If you liked this video or found it useful, don't forget to hit the like button, share it with your family and friends, and write "Keep it up" in the comments below. 9. Mutuality, the heart of love. Hey lovebirds, let's talk about the secret source of any healthy relationship, mutuality. It's like the yin and yang of love, that dynamic balance between giving and receiving, between independence and interdependence. Think of it like a tennis match. You and your partner are on opposite sides of the net, but you're both working together to create a fun, engaging game. You're taking turns, serving and returning, supporting each other's strengths, and challenging each other to grow. That's what mutuality is all about. It's not about one person dominating the other, or one person always giving and the other always taking. It's about finding that sweet spot where both partners feel seen, heard, and valued. The ancient Greek philosopher Plato talked about the concept of philia, which is often translated as friendship love. But philia is more than just hanging out and having a good time. It's about mutual respect, admiration, and support. It's about challenging each other to be better people and celebrating each other's successes. When we have mutuality in our relationships, we create a space where both partners can thrive. We feel safe enough to be vulnerable, to express our needs and desires, and to ask for help when we need it. We know that our partner has our back and that we have theirs. But mutuality isn't always easy, especially in a culture that often promotes unhealthy power dynamics. We're bombarded with messages that tell us to be independent, to not need anyone else, to be strong and self-sufficient. While those qualities are definitely important, they can also lead us to isolate ourselves and avoid vulnerability. We can start to believe that asking for help is a sign of weakness, or that needing someone else is a burden. But here's the truth. We all need connection. We all need to feel loved and supported. And we all have something to offer in return. Mutuality is about recognizing that we're all in this together, that we're all part of a vast, interconnected web of life. Think about it like this. Have you ever been in a relationship where you felt like you were always giving and your partner was always taking? It's exhausting, isn't it? It's like trying to run a marathon with a backpack full of rocks. But when we have mutuality, we share the load. We take turns carrying the backpack, and we encourage each other along the way. We celebrate each other's victories and comfort each other through the tough times. So, how do we create more mutuality in our relationships? It starts with communication. We need to be honest with ourselves and our partners about our needs, desires, and expectations. We need to create a space where both partners feel safe enough to express themselves without fear of judgment or rejection. It also means being willing to compromise and negotiate. Mutuality doesn't mean always getting your way. It means finding solutions that work for both partners. It means being flexible and adaptable, and being willing to put your partner's needs before your own sometimes. And finally, it means practicing gratitude and appreciation. When we focus on the positive aspects of our relationships, we create a more loving and supportive environment. We start to see our partners as gifts, not burdens. Mutuality is the heart of love. It's the secret sauce that makes relationships thrive. So, let's make a commitment to cultivating more mutuality in our lives. Let's create relationships that are based on equality, respect, and mutual support. Let's build a world where love is a two-way street, not a one-way ticket to heartbreak. 10. Romance, sweet love. Hey romantics, let's talk about the cherry on top of the love sundae, romance. It's the sparklers, the whipped cream, the chocolate drizzle that makes love so damn delicious. But just like any good dessert, romance needs substance to back it up. Think of it like this. Romance is the sizzle, but love is the steak. You wouldn't want a meal that's all sizzle and no steak, right? It might look good on Instagram, but it wouldn't leave you feeling satisfied. The same goes for relationships. Romance is important, but it's not enough to sustain a long-term connection. We need the meat and potatoes of love, trust, respect, communication, and commitment. Now, I'm not saying we should ditch the romance altogether. A little bit of sizzle can go a long way in keeping the spark alive. But we need to be careful not to confuse romance with love. The ancient Greek philosopher Plato talked about the concept of eros, which is often translated as passionate love. But eros isn't just about butterflies and stolen kisses. It's also about the desire for something deeper, something more meaningful. It's about the longing for union with another soul. When we're in the throes of eros, we can easily get swept away by the intensity of our feelings. We might idealize our partner, overlook their flaws, and believe that this passion will last forever. But eros is like a firework. It's beautiful and exhilarating, but it eventually burns out. If we want our love to last, we need to build a foundation that's stronger than just passion. Think about it like this. Have you ever been in a relationship where the initial spark faded and you realized that you didn't really know your partner that well? Maybe you had different values, different goals, or different ways of communicating. That's when the romance starts to feel like a cheap imitation of love. When we focus on building a real, authentic connection with our partner, romance naturally follows. It's like the cherry on top of the sundae, a sweet bonus that comes from a love that's built to last. So, how do we cultivate romance in our relationships? It starts with being present and attentive to our partner. It's about noticing the little things that make them special and expressing our appreciation for them. It's also about creating shared experiences that bring you closer together. This could mean trying a new activity together, taking a weekend getaway, or simply spending quality time talking and laughing. And it's about keeping the element of surprise alive. This could mean leaving a love note for your partner, planning a spontaneous date, or simply doing something unexpected to show them you care. Romance is the sweet love that adds spice and excitement to our relationships, but it's not a substitute for the real deal. If we want our love to last, we need to build a foundation that's based on trust, respect, communication, and commitment. When we do that, romance becomes the icing on the cake, a sweet reminder of the love that we've created together. 11. Loss, loving into life and death. All right, love warriors, let's talk about something that's as inevitable as taxes and just as unwelcome, loss. It's the dark side of love, the shadow that follows us wherever we go. But just like the yin and yang, love and loss are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Think of it like this. Love is a flame, and loss is the wind that threatens to blow it out. But if that flame is strong enough, it can withstand even the fiercest gusts. In fact, it might even burn brighter because of them. Loss is a part of life, y'all. It's the price we pay for loving deeply. Whether it's the death of a loved one, the end of a relationship, or the loss of a dream, we all experience it at some point. And it hurts like hell. The ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus believed that death is nothing to us, since when we are, death is not, and when death is, we are not. But that doesn't make it any easier to say goodbye to the people we love. When we lose someone we love, it can feel like a part of us has died too. We might feel lost, confused, and overwhelmed by grief. We might even question the point of it all. But here's the thing. Love doesn't die with the body. It lives on in our hearts, our memories, and the ways we continue to be shaped by the people we've lost. Think about it like this. Have you ever lost someone you loved, but still felt their presence in your life? Maybe you hear their voice in your head, or you see them in your dreams. Maybe you feel their love guiding and protecting you. That's because love is a force that transcends death. It's a connection that can't be broken, even by the finality of death. Now, I'm not saying we should just brush off our grief and pretend everything's okay. Grief is a natural and necessary part of the healing process. We need to allow ourselves to feel the pain, to cry, to rage, to mourn. But we also need to remember that love is stronger than death. It's the force that can carry us through the darkest of times and help us find meaning in the midst of loss. Think about it like this. Have you ever seen a tree that's been struck by lightning but still manages to grow new leaves and branches? That's the resilience of life, the power of love to overcome even the most devastating of losses. When we love deeply, we open ourselves up to the possibility of great pain, but we also open ourselves up to the possibility of great joy. Love is a gamble, but it's a gamble worth taking. So, let's embrace the full spectrum of love, both the light and the dark. Let's allow ourselves to grieve when we lose someone we love, but let's also remember that love lives on. Let's choose to love with our whole hearts, knowing that even in death, love is the ultimate victor. 12. Healing, redemptive love. Hey, love healers, let's talk about the power of love to mend our broken hearts and souls. We've all been through some stuff, right? Heartbreak, disappointment, trauma. It's all part of the human experience. But here's the good news. Love is the ultimate healer. It's like a balm for our wounds, a salve for our souls. Think of it like this. Love is a phoenix rising from the ashes. When we've been hurt or broken, love can help us rebuild ourselves, stronger and more resilient than before. It's the force that can transform our pain into power, our wounds into wisdom. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can love heal something as deep as trauma? That's a fair question, and it's not a simple answer. Healing takes time, effort, and a whole lot of courage. But love is the catalyst that makes it all possible. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle believed that the soul is the form of the body. In other words, our emotional and spiritual well-being is intimately connected to our physical health. When we're hurting emotionally, it can manifest in physical symptoms like headaches, stomach aches, and even chronic pain. But love can reverse that process. When we feel loved and supported, our bodies release feel-good chemicals like oxytocin and dopamine. These chemicals not only make us feel happier, they also boost our immune systems and help us heal from physical ailments. Think about it like this. Have you ever received a hug from someone you love and felt an instant sense of relief? That's the power of love in action. It's a tangible force that can soothe our pain, calm our anxieties, and restore our sense of well-being. But love isn't just about hugs and kisses. It's also about compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. When we're able to forgive ourselves and others for past hurts, we release ourselves from the chains of resentment and anger. We open ourselves up to the possibility of healing and growth. This doesn't mean we have to forget or excuse the pain that's been inflicted upon us, but it does mean that we choose to let go of the anger and resentment that keep us stuck in the past. We choose to move forward with love as our guiding light. Think about it like this. Have you ever held on to a grudge for so long that it started to poison your own well-being? It's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Forgiveness is the antidote to that poison. It's the key that unlocks the door to healing. Love is the ultimate redeemer. It has the power to transform our lives, to heal our wounds, and to set us free. But it's not a magic bullet. It takes work, dedication, and a willingness to face our pain head on. So, let's embrace the healing power of love. Let's forgive ourselves and others for past hurts. Let's choose to live in the present moment with love as our guiding principle. Let's create a world where love is not just a word, but a way of life. 13. Destiny, when angels speak of love. Hey there, spiritual seekers. Let's wrap up this journey with a topic that's both mystical and practical, destiny. Now, I know destiny can sound like something out of a Disney movie, but let's get real about what it means in the context of love. Think of it like this. Destiny is the GPS of our souls, guiding us towards our highest good. It's not about fate or predestination. It's about aligning ourselves with the flow of love that's always present in the universe. When we're open to love, we open ourselves up to the possibility of destiny. We start to see the signs and synchronicities that are guiding us towards our true path. We meet the right people at the right time, and we find ourselves in the right places for the right reasons. The ancient Greeks had a word for this kind of divine guidance, logos. It's the underlying reason and order of the universe, the intelligence that governs all things. When we're in tune with the logos, we're in tune with our destiny. Now, I'm not talking about some woo-woo concept of fate that's predetermined and unchangeable. I'm talking about a dynamic, evolving process that we co-create with the universe. We have free will, but we also have a soul purpose, a unique contribution to make to the world. Think about it like this. Have you ever had a gut feeling about something, a sense that you were meant to do something or be somewhere? That's your intuition, your inner compass guiding you towards your destiny. When we follow our intuition, we open ourselves up to the possibility of miracles. We meet the right people, we find the right opportunities, and we create a life that's aligned with our soul's purpose. But destiny isn't always easy. Sometimes it leads us down unexpected paths, challenges us to grow, and forces us to confront our deepest fears. But that's all part of the journey. Think about it like this. Have you ever had a dream that seemed impossible, but you pursued it anyway? Maybe you wanted to start a business, write a book, or travel the world. When you followed your heart, you probably faced obstacles and setbacks, but you also experienced a sense of purpose and fulfillment that you wouldn't have found otherwise. That's the power of destiny. It's not about following a predetermined path. It's about creating your own path with the guidance of your intuition and the support of the universe. So, how do we embrace our destiny? It starts with listening to our hearts, trusting our intuition, and being open to the signs and synchronicities that are all around us. It's about taking risks, following our passions, and saying yes to the opportunities that come our way. It's also about cultivating a sense of gratitude and appreciation for the journey, even when it's challenging. When we focus on the good, we attract more good into our lives. And finally, it's about surrendering to the flow of love that's always present in the universe. When we let go of our fears and doubts, we open ourselves up to the infinite possibilities that await us. Destiny is not a destination, it's a journey. It's a dance between our free will and the divine guidance that's always available to us. When we embrace our destiny, we step into our power and create a life that's filled with love, meaning, and purpose. And there you have it, folks. We've journeyed through the ins and outs of love, from the importance of clarity and honesty to the power of commitment and spirituality. We've explored the dark side of love, like loss and greed, and the transformative power of healing and redemption. But remember, this is just the beginning. Love is a lifelong journey, a constant dance between giving and receiving, between self-discovery and connection with others. It's a messy, beautiful, and ultimately rewarding journey. So I encourage you to take these lessons to heart, put them into practice in your own life, and see how they transform your relationships and your overall well-being. Remember, love is not just a feeling, it's a choice. It's a choice we make every single day, in every interaction we have. Choose love. Choose connection. Choose growth. Choose to be the best version of yourself, not just for yourself, but for the world. Because when we love ourselves and others, we create a ripple effect that can change the world for the better. Thank you for joining me on this journey of love. May your hearts be filled with love, joy, and peace. Until next time, keep loving, keep learning, and keep growing.